Well, I've already had this question, but have we faced any challenges and trials before coming here to the feast? It's probably so long ago now, you probably don't even think about it, as we shouldn't. I know. I mean, we're supposed to have a good time here, but I know we are faced with challenges all the time. And when the challenges did hit us, was it not discouraging and frustrating when something didn't go the way we planned or hoped for or expected? Did we then not pray to God for help and intervention and answers for what we were hoping for? Why do we become discouraged and frustrated in ourselves or toward one another, which could affect our attitudes and our thinking? Not knowing something is difficult. Now, we've heard messages in the past, recently, about those two things, not knowing something and our attitudes. But this kind of thing seems to happen every year. And it's not just prior to the feast, but it's also prior to the Passover, which we experience well before then when trials seem to be abundant. And there is someone who wants us to see us struggle and fail. And we all know who that is. Satan wants us to fail. He does not want us to make it. And he is going to try anything he can in his power to try and make us fail. But remember, he can only do this to a certain point. Since God allows Satan to do what he wants to do to a certain point. God also knows that nothing is impossible, and he also knows that we can overcome Satan. He has that confidence in us to do that. But, as I mentioned yesterday, we are the ones who have to make the right choice, and we have to be careful in how we act. We have to have the right attitude. So, how was our trip to the feast? Let's go back to that. Those of us who are traveling long ways, we may have, it's really rare to have a flawless trip with nothing happening and everything going great, right? Were there any hiccups along the way? Was there cars or trucks that were cutting us off? Or was there a lot of traffic you're stuck in? Or maybe you have forgotten something, many things back home. And maybe when you got here, everything was going great. And you may have had a broken iron that spilled water all over your shirt for the shirt you wanted to wear that night. Perhaps burned your shirt. So just throwing these things out there. I don't know if that really happened. Actually, I do know that happened. Or maybe your computer wasn't working and you wanted to go print out your message and you're having a problem with the printer downstairs here. Yeah, you know, these things happen. So then what is the initial reaction going to be? Well, our attitudes have a lot to do with it. And Matthew 5, verses 3 to 10, talks about the Beatitudes, in which we should all go by. This right here is the right attitude that we should have. And I actually want to go over the Beatitudes in detail. As you can see, that's obviously coming from Christ here. And these are all blessings. And they're for us. And as we go over these, I want you to put yourself personally in a relation to each of these beatitudes or blessings. Remember, it is ourself and only ourself that we have to examine as we read about in 1 Corinthians 11, 28. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Worry about what you are doing. Because when that time comes, you and only you we'll have to give account for your own actions. So if we begin in verse 3, we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is speaking about humility, and we heard a lot about that yesterday in my message yesterday. But we have to be humble. We don't want to go around thinking that we know everything. How many of us have grown up in the church, and yet we still find something new to study in the Bible? Something that we haven't really thought of before, or a different perspective. We can speak about a certain message, but have 10 different ways of explaining it. That's what's amazing about the Bible. We don't know anything compared to God. We know a lot, but God obviously knows everything. And to compare that is tough to do right now. But we will have that chance in the future where we can think exactly as God does, where we will be God. So when we are in trouble and we need help, He is the one that we go to. We shouldn't be quick to act, but careful with prayer and studying. Patience is such an important step here. When going through something and it's human nature to react right away, but sometimes saying nothing at all at that moment and then saying something later because you think a lot during that time of how to answer what it may be. And we're always facing that kind of situation. A quick prayer always helps. Sometimes forgetting to do that, but that you'll be amazed how much of a difference that makes a lot of times. And of course, the answers are all in the Bible. Now, Moses is mentioned in the Bible as a most humble person, but there were still times when he didn't do things that God wanted him to do. And because of that reason, he was not able to enter the promised land. He took credit for himself rather than to God when he struck the rock in the wilderness and when water came out, as we read about in Numbers 20 and verse 12. And in verse 4, we read, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." When we are in an extremely tough situation, it's okay to cry. We do this. Everyone does it. It is painful, no matter what the situation may be. We all make mistakes. We all sin. And when that happens, we ask for forgiveness. We repent for our mistakes. But God is very merciful, and He is there to forgive us, and He will forgive us. And He is the one who comforts us whenever we have a problem, since we do go to God for help. Verse 5, we read, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." An adjective for the meek would be quiet, gentle, and submissive. Is that something that describes us? Maybe not everybody. We all have our own personalities. I, being German, is the exact opposite of those three words. And if you've met my family, and those who are new and met the family and see how we speak and everything, and German has its own stigma anyway of their language, it is anything but quiet, gentle, and submissive. But of course, we all try to be that way. We submit to God's word. It's very easy to complain when somebody tells you to do something that you don't want to do. But you yourself know that you should do it. Now, what if that someone was God telling you that? Somebody else could tell you, maybe you shouldn't do that, but do this. How would you react, though, if God would tell you that? It'd be a little bit different, wouldn't it? Would you complain if He told you to do something? Not just something, but the same thing that the other individual told you to do? Think about that. We find the answers in the Bible, and that is what God is telling us to do. Even some of the most faithful in the Bible questioned God when God told them to do something. One example of many would be found in Exodus when God confronted Moses at the burning bush. And God gave Moses a specific command in Exodus 3, verses 10 through 12. Exodus 3 and verse 10, God tells Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" We may ask the same question. Who am I to be up here giving this message? Or whatever it may be. I don't think a lot of us imagined when we were younger that we would be up here, us ministers here. I don't think that was the number one thing that you wished for when you were asked, what would you like to be when you grow up? I want to be a minister. I don't think any of us wished that. Maybe, I don't know, but I know I didn't. So, again, I feel for Moses here too. I mean, it's a very familiar situation. Who am I to do this? But God said in verse 12, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. You know, God even told Moses what would happen, and how he would intervene in verses 19 through 21. And yet, Moses still had doubts. In chapter 4, verse 1, and as we all know, God showed him signs to give him more encouragement. And we see that in verses 10 through 17. But finally, after all that, Moses and Aaron went to Egypt, and he did free the people, just as God had wanted him to do. And even after all the signs, people of Israel had a lack of faith when things didn't go their way. But God always intervened. He did not give up on them. He kept intervening for them because he had this plan in his mind from the beginning. However, there is a certain point where us testing God, let's say, where God has had enough. And we read about that too. But we shouldn't test God because there are times where he will not answer. So going back to verse 6 of chapter 5 in Matthew, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Before we got baptized, and even afterwards, we hungered for the truth. And even though we haven't understood everything yet, we still receive God's power at baptism through his Holy Spirit. We hungered for his righteousness, and we were filled, as it says in Luke 1:53. We still hunger and thirst for righteousness every feast when we are here. What a great time. Condensed everything into 7 and 8 days of all the knowledge and all the messages that we hear. A continuous hunger and thirst. And yes, we definitely have a lot of hunger and thirst, physically speaking, here. And yet we're still being filled. And this is also where faith comes in. We have the faith that God will give us the understanding when we ask for it. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And again, a lot of the stuff I'm saying now is what I was alluding to yesterday, but we have to be merciful towards one another, just as God is merciful toward us. We are not perfect. Again, we still sin. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 tells us this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, because we accepted his sacrifice. In verse 6, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I went in further scripture, verse 6. And now going back to verse 8 of Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we have to do what is right in our heart. However we act, whatever we do, whatever we say should come from the heart. We know it's good and pure when we please God and act as he wants us to act. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. No matter how difficult it is sometimes, we are supposed to love our enemies. We read that all the time, but we see in that same chapter 5, verses 43 through 45, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Do you have any enemies in your life? Let's say, is there anybody that you would really consider an enemy? I can't say for myself that I do. And I'm obviously happy for that. And even if there are people that have something really against us or are enemies, there is there is a way that that can change. I mean, God is there to help in every situation. And if we are to be peacemakers, we wouldn't fight in war or fight in general because we know who fights our battles. And only God we can rely on. Verses 10 of Matthew 5 again. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, verse 11, when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This doesn't sound like a blessing at first when you first look at this. Blessed are those, you know, who are persecuting you, when they revile and persecute you. A lot of challenges there. But that verse 12 right there is the key and our reward if we do what it says here. And I'm sure we have all gone through this, already been through it a few times in our lives. But this is where we shine and where we have to be strong and we have to stand up for what is right. Times will get worse and we may think that we are all alone, but we know that's not true. Our reward will be great, greater than we can ever imagine. So everything I've gone over today is the attitude that we should have towards one another and even within ourselves. We are examples to the whole world, and the whole world will come to realize it as we read in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.